Hello, and welcome to what might be the strangest episode of Now Playing yet. My name's Stuart, and I had so much fun last week talking with Arnie about the Midnight Meat Train that when he offered me the chance to talk about Star Wars and the Clone Wars and give my unbiased, unfan opinion of the show, I took him up on it. I guess Arnie and Marjorie felt like they were so close to Star Wars they couldn't give the perspective of someone who wasn't pre-sold on it. And it is true. I may be Arnie's only friend who is not a mega fan of Star Wars. Don't get me wrong, my first movie memory was going to the theater for the first time with my dad and my brother to see Star Wars back in probably 77, 78, and I really loved it. It was really a great moment. I loved Empire, and I liked Jedi as well, but I almost consider Star Wars sort of like a gateway into other sci-fi that I actually got into much more at the time. Believe it or not, I was much more obsessed with the Alien films, the Ridley Scott. I had the doll and the board game and the second set of jaws that would pop out and eat my Star Wars figures, and I just thought it was much cooler. I was really into Poltergeist and horror. Heck, I was even more into Doctor Who, the old British Tom Baker episodes, than I ever really was Star Wars. It was just one of many things that I enjoyed at the time, but I was not a super fan, and after Jedi, I stopped really thinking or paying attention to Star Wars. I didn't watch Ewoks or droids. I didn't watch those Wilford Brimley TV movies. I didn't see the re-releases that came out in the late 90s, the ones with the new effects and Han didn't shoot first and all the critters stuck in the background. I heard about it. It just didn't have a whole lot of appeal to see that kind of redo, and was not going to see Phantom Menace, did not see it in theaters, had no interest in it. It was really talking with Arnie and watching how important it was for him that got me to consider even going back and looking at those prequels. Honestly, I didn't care for him. Phantom Menace, I thought, was a real botch, and I don't think I need to spend any more oxygen than it's already been put out there about Jar Jar and the mistakes of that one. I thought the series got better. I thought it had moments. I thought it was probably the most beautiful-looking movie I'd never watch again. But I saw all three of the prequels once, and that definitely was enough for me. So what you're getting here is the opinion of a movie lover and a science fiction lover, but not a Star Wars fan. And so how weird did I feel to be with only 8 fanatics at the midnight opening of Star Wars Clone Wars this week? And not really sharing in their enthusiasm, and then not really feeling their enthusiasm as the picture progressed. Let's be honest, guys. If this is the future of Star Wars, then you can send a wreath and condolences to Lucas, because this is not what I recall liking or being impressed with. The Star Wars universe that I grew up with and loved felt expansive. That's what was so impressive about it. They started it with Episode 4, and you felt like there was this whole universe of creatures and relationships you didn't understand and didn't know about, but it all seemed to make sense, and it was so vast and impressive. And really, over time, as Lucas keeps fiddling and fiddling with it, it feels like this really insular, feels like the same 13 characters keep bumping into each other all over the galaxy, and there's just nothing new to say about them. And that was the ongoing problem I had with the prequels, was it was like, really? We're going to find out, you know, the origins of Boba Fett's dad? We're going to find out the origins of the Force? It was over-explaining everything. The original trilogy, people talk about the hero's journey and how great it was to watch as Luke develops and becomes the Jedi Master and really wrestles with the Force, that it follows this Joseph Campbell template about what a hero does in epics. And you can't say that about those prequels. They feel like minutiae and things that are hard to sometimes quite frankly follow. I mean, as a kid, I understood Star Wars. I don't know that I would have understood this prequel trilogy. And, you know, and here now, even after he's crafted what was a tragedy, the fall of Anakin, it seemed like a complete story when you look at it in that perspective. Now he's sticking in there, in between the second and third movies, he's sticking in there this new animated thing. And I call it a thing because it's not a movie, it's a new TV series that they've sort of strung together into a movie. And, you know, much like you might caulk your leaking basement, it's just kind of squirted into the cracks between where episode 2 ended and where episode 3 picked up. I'll be honest with you, I don't really even remember much about it. I remember being very confused about who I was supposed to root for when it was droids versus clones. I'm like, do I like the clones or the droids? I don't know. And so I was lost right from the get-go here watching this movie. We're watching Anakin and Obi-Wan Kenobi. God, is that really Obi-Wan Kenobi? Boy, that was profound when I realized that was supposed to be what that was. These classic characters and their struggle to take on the droids, I think. And, like I said, non-fan, don't send the hate mail. The plot that emerges, okay. What this ends up being is sort of a children's fantasy about Anakin and his apprentice, an orange-skinned creature who has a dead animal, possibly roadkill on her head, zipping around the galaxy trying to rescue Jabba the Hutt's son, who they affectionately name Stinky. Stinky the Hutt. And I know that wasn't really his name, but believe me, they keep calling him Stinky. He farts, he belches. It is Stinky. Trust me on this. Is this really what we wanted? Is this really appropriate to what I liked about Star Wars? I would think that if I were a Star Wars fan, I'd be pretty peeved. It might deliver on some of the lightsaber battles. It might deliver some of the sound and fury and the noise and the universe that we love. But boy, this doesn't feel at all like that thing from my childhood. And the fact that it's pitched so much towards children makes it even more difficult, I would think, for an adult fan to relate to this. The movie is done in a computer animation style that's interesting and would have probably really worked for me if it were made for DVD, if this were the interludes of a video game, but they don't emote. If you remember the old Thunderbird series with Marionation, you know, those weird expressionless puppets that go around and talk to each other and blast off. I thought that was cool back in the day. Or Speed Racer, you know, the big eyes, no expression. That's what you're getting off of this. And it's baffling when characters are looking at Stinky and being like, oh, Stinky is sick. And you know, can interpolate this how exactly? It's all these characters have been drained of expression. And a lot of them aren't being done by the voices of the people that originally played them. So it really does feel like a fandom movie, like a fan fiction, like it was done by non-professionals who really like Star Wars and spent a lot of time doing something that was kind of cool looking, but really isn't what you like. Maybe I should only review the movie for what it is instead of what it isn't. Being that it's Star Wars, it's hard to do that, you know. It's attaching itself to things that we know and have a deep understanding of. I almost feel like this would have worked much better had they just made all new characters in the Star Wars universe, fighting the clones and the droids or whatever they're doing, but giving us something new, giving us something expansive again, giving them somewhere to go, and maybe had one or two cameos. Maybe Yoda's in one of the episodes. Maybe Anakin makes an appearance once. But to actually have it be those characters from the prequel series just makes it all the more dramatically uninteresting because you know what ends up with them, you know where they're going, and they consequently can't surprise you. I mean, we know Anakin's not going to die. We know how everything kind of winds up. This is going to sound a little weird, but it reminds me of Alf. Alf, the 80s sitcom with the guy from Melmac. I love that show, by the way. I'm probably totally destroying my credibility as a critic right now. But as a child, that was one of the things that I loved. And then they had this Alf cartoon that they stuck in there. And I remember being like, huh, it's all about Alf's wacky adventures on Melmac. And isn't that funny? Yeah, except in the sitcom, they told us the planet blew up. And that all his friends that he's laughing and playing with and dancing around with, they're dead. And that doesn't make me really want to watch this. If you can find the rope from what I just said about Alf to Clone Wars, good luck with that. But I think what I'm trying to say is that there's nowhere dramatically this series can go. And the characters aren't good. What I thought was really weird, Anakin And Ahsoka, this is the creature, the apprentice, the bratty teenage girl that he's saddled with, who really just, boy, has a mouth on her I would not put up with from a child, from an apprentice. Just why he allows her to speak to him this way, I'll never understand. Their relationship tries to capture some of that Han and Leia dialogue. Like, they even refer to the ship they're flying around in as a bucket of bolts, and they got this back and forth, and I'm like, are we supposed to be getting the sense that there's sexual chemistry here between them? Because, I mean, you wouldn't know it because, you know, you're looking at their faces and they can't emote. But I really, I'm like, this now feels very, very bizarre to me. This should not be, is my review. This should not be a Star Wars movie. And I don't know that if it were just Titan AE or Treasure Planet or one of those many animated action boy-centric movies they've come out with in space, whether you'd want to see that either. But by calling it Star Wars is really at the disservice of Star Wars and will only cause you to resent the childish, non-Star Wars story we have to watch. Saving Jabba the Hutt's son is not worthy of a theatrical movie experience. And I know that I won't be watching the TV show. I wonder how many people who will. I really couldn't begin to guess who the audience is, if not the hardcore Star Wars people and maybe kids under the age of 10. But, you know, obviously Lucas has made a lot of money off of this. He's run it for decades now. He knows more than I about how to get a dollar out of this. I guess all I can really say is that it reminds, you know, the last, a pivotal moment is Ahsoka gives Stinky some medicine and saves his life, apparently, and she says Stinky will live to stink again, and I guess that's kind of true for Star Wars too. It just keeps puttering along. Well, look, I had a lot of fun doing this review of Star Wars Clone Wars, despite how it sounds, and if Arnie and Marjorie and the fans aren't totally fuming and wanting to throw me out for not giving up Star Wars love, maybe I'll come back and do a few more reviews for Now Playing. Hopefully some better movies, things closer to my heart. Until then, may this farce not be with you.
Now Playing is a production of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.